We're so happy to have you on our monthly webinar here at the Interest Group. And if it'll let me change my page here. Okay, so a quick disclaimer before we get started. So the Interest Group, Interest, does not provide any investment advice. We don't endorse any products or investments. So we do say that all information and material is for educational purposes only. We always encourage all parties to consult with their attorneys, accountants, financial advisors, you name it, before entering into any type of investment. On today's agenda, so we'll be going over car wash investments, or our guest speaker will, analyzing market headlines, explaining opportunity costs, examining some of the benefits and potential red flags, and learning how to invest with a self-directed IRA. So a little bit about me. My name's Rachel Stolrow. I've been with the Interest Group for over 7 years. I'm really passionate about educating clients and companies alike on utilizing a retirement plan to invest in what you know, like, and trust. Again, I like to empower investors with the tools, make informed decisions in the alternative investment space. And moving on to a little bit about who the Interest Group is. Number one, we're self-directed administrators. We have very, very knowledgeable staff, many that hold the CISP, the Certified IRA Service Professional Certification. We host monthly educational webinars, very much like this one, to continue our education to clients. And we host an annual IRA Academy where we are educating others in the financial services industry on self-directed IRAs. A little bit more about us. We have over $5 billion in assets under administration. So we've been doing this for quite some time. We have empowered over 45,000 investors on using a retirement plan to invest in alternatives. We've been in service for over 40 years, and we really pride ourselves on our single point of business contact model. What that means is throughout somebody's experience here at the Interest Group, whether it's a company or a client, rest assured you have the same dedicated team of two to assist with any questions that come up, which leaves a really great experience for all involved. Without further ado, I will allow our guest speaker, Whitney, to introduce herself.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Hi, guys. My name is Whitney Elkins-Hutton. I'm the Director of Investor Education at PassiveInvesting.com, and I'm so excited to be with you today. We are going to discuss on how to invest in cash flowing express car washes. For your information, you know, here is my contact information, how you can reach me directly if you have additional questions or want to discuss perhaps specific investments, because we're going to stay at an educational level today. We're not going to get into any sort of returns or company level of investment contact information, so you can reach me. So just, you know, if we haven't had the opportunity of meeting before on our Passive Investing Made Simple Masterclass, Bootcamp, or on the Multifamily Investor Nation show, again, my name is Whitney, and I started off real estate investing back in 2002. And this is the whole reason why I do it, is to be able to, you know, have time and choice freedom. So many people are driven to achieve financial freedom. And for me, financial freedom is a tool to get the other freedoms in life, which is time, choice, location, independence, and freedom to create an impact in the world. And this is what I love doing, is helping investors understand passive investments in different asset classes so you can scale the portfolio that's going to help support your goals. My journey started off in 2002, fix and flipping, and then eventually I got smart and started keeping those properties so I could harvest the cash flow, the equity growth, and the tax benefits. And then, you know, decided to move away from our single family rental portfolio and reposition it into multifamily assets. And then eventually beginning to raise on larger deals in the multifamily space. Apologize, guys. I am recovering from a cold, so I will try to keep my sniffles to a minimum. But if we want to move to the next slide, really where my husband and I are at today is that we have over 6,500 residential units, 2,200 self-storage units, and 15 express car washes. And really, what this allows us to do, again, it's not so much about the numbers, but if we move to the next slide, it's to show you that we have this result, that singular result, which is 100% control and choice on how we spend our time. And that's what we love doing here at passiveinvesting.com. If we'll move to the next slide, is that we have a portfolio to help our investors achieve the exact same goals, either be it through our real estate debt funding or our equity investments. And if you would, I, again, you have my contact information. If you'd like to talk about more specifics, we can do so offline. But let's move into the meat of the matter today. And like Rachel, I also want to make sure just to really reiterate the disclaimer. Whatever we go over today is not financial, tax, or legal advice. So make sure to take any information, whether you're on this webinar or any other webinar, book, or anything like that, and take it back to your investment team before making an investment decision. So let's dive in today. Why invest in express car washes? Okay. So first, we have to understand, what is an express car wash? Well, there's really four types of car washes. I know I only have three pictured here. But let's start off with the one that you see all the way to the right, a self-service car wash. That's more like a garage, right? You drive your car in, there's nobody manning the station. You drive your car in, it's like a garage station. You used to drop quarters in the wall, now you scan your credit card and you're doing the washing yourself. You're scrubbing everything down. Some vehicles still have to be washed like this. We have a camper van, and when my husband and my daughter loves going with him and to wash that camper van, and he just prays that he doesn't come back soaking wet because they love spraying each other with a hose. The other type of car wash, as we scale up, is what we call an in-bay automatic. Now, these can range from like just a single in-bay or a double bay, like what you would see attached to a gas station or a lube center, car repair center, or something like that. But these are just, we're starting to automate the process, but we don't have high efficiency. So really, these in-bay automatics themselves are just an additional cost center for whatever that main business is, be it the gas station, car repair place, lube place, whatever. The fourth type of car wash, I'm going to swing the pendulum all the way the other direction, is what we call our full service car wash. And so just think about it. Where I live in Boulder, Colorado, we have a full service car wash here. So when you drive on the premises, there's an army of people ready to take your car, vacuum it, then they drive it through a short little tunnel and it gets scrubbed down. And then at the end of the tunnel, that's where all your services happen. It either gets hand dried, hand wiped down. If there's scents, tire shines, everything is happening by hand. It's an extremely labor-intensive model. Now, what if you could take that labor-intensive model that yields a high-touch customer service interaction and marry it with something that has more efficiency, like the in-bay automatic? Well, that's what gives us the express car wash. And so, for many people here, that you probably started seeing these pop up in like large major metropolitan service areas, like your, 10 million, 2 million, or more people. Now, we're starting to see some of this kind of trickle out into the secondary and tertiary markets, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But really, the express car wash allows us to combine the high touch service of the full service car wash with the efficiencies of an in-bay automatic. And when we have that combination, and really the efficiencies occur in this tunnel that's, say, 80 to 120 feet long, that tunnel, it takes advantage of technology and it will read a barcode. And based on the customer subscription to the car wash, it knows what does this customer get? Do they get a pre-rinse? Do they get an undercarriage wash? Do they get tire shines? Do they get waxes? Do they get them every time they come in, or do they get them every fourth time they come in? So that tunnel is what we kind of could equate to a smart tunnel. But also, that tunnel, because it's so long, it can wash multiple cars at the same time. And that allows these type of facilities to wash upwards to 400 to 500 cars a day with just two to three full-time employees. Next slide, please. So now that we understand what an express car wash is, let's, you know, kind of take a step back and really understand the industry. Now, by the numbers, you know, the industry is $33+ billion dollars in growing industry. And the industry as a whole, car wash as a whole, like all four different models that I showed, you know, explained to you, is growing at over right now in 2024, over 4%, with those numbers just actually got published last week at the car wash convention. So I'll update my slide moving forward. Long story short, the express car wash sector of this industry alone is growing at almost double that clip, so closer to 8%. All right. So that kind of gives us a clue that this industry is in its infancy and growing. It's hearkening back to, you know, maybe investing in self-storage in the early 2000s, right? We're really on the upswing trajectory of this investment really taking off. Now, what supports this industry? Well, it's a customer-driven business. Now, a lot of people, you know, will probably question like, well, a lot of people bill this as a real estate transaction. We'll get to the real estate piece here in a minute, but really what we have here is a high intense cash flowing business sitting on real estate. And depending on how the operator purchases or packages the investment, you can have real estate with the business on top, which is really ideally as an investor what you should be driving forward. Now, so let's understand the customer, because really at the end of the day, we have to understand the customer and understand how this business is profitable. So just by the numbers, about 92% of the people in the United States have at least one motor vehicle, and over 22% have three or more vehicles. My family alone, we fall in that category. So I can speak very, well from that position. Now, of people that drive cars, over 72% of them actually use a car wash. Okay, and 51% or more, and that's actually growing, prefer using the express car wash model if it's available to them. What we're seeing is once people establish the behavior of washing their car at a car wash, they rarely give up that behavior. Sometimes they just want to move to, like, not wash their car in their yard anymore, or maybe, like, you know, by covenant, or, you know, maybe they live in a multifamily building, they're not allowed to wash their car in the yard. So we're going to see this trend continue to grow. Now, what keeps the industry really profitable is the average car wash owner washes their car about 13 times a year. So it becomes, once they transition over to washing the car at a car wash, it is an established behavior. People rarely, rarely give it up. And it's actually a very resilient, recession-resilient behavior, because when people are challenged in hard economic times, they actually are put in a situation to take better care of their car. Maybe they can't get a car loan to upgrade their car, or they just want to keep, you know, they have their car currently paid off and they don't want to replace it and take on a loan. So they're going to extend the life, current life of their car, and washing it is one of the best ways to do that. Next slide, please. So this is really an industry that's ripe for disruption, because again, we're in its infancy. You know, we're probably about 3 to 4 years in, just really at the very beginning of this industry growing. And a lot of people, actually mom and pop owners, did start breaking ground on express car washes several years ago, 5 to 10 years ago, but it's very fractionalized right now. So less than 15% of the current owners actually own more than 5 locations. What this means is that they are owner operators and they have no ability to hire regional management. So that mom and pop owner probably said, hey, here's a nice cash flowing business. I'm going to optimize. I'm going to elevate myself out of the business. They quickly realize unless they can get to 5 or more locations, there's no way they're going to be able to hire a regional manager to elevate themselves out of the business. So really, we have a great opportunity here, an industry that's ripe for disruption, not only to acquire current properties, but continue to break down and expand upon this. Another part of the industry, an attractive part of the industry is right now there's no third-party management. So there's no big money entering the market, meaning your companies, large groups like Blackstone, Berkshire Hathaway, they have no interest in getting into this arena quite yet because they can't scoop up a portfolio of properties and place it with management. They would have to then themselves become owners, operators, and that's not what they do. Okay. So, and I'll talk about some, there's some really cool, groups here, one of us being included, that are actually solving the problem of third-party management. But let's stick with the industry right now. This industry is also ripe for disruption in between optimization and scalability, because a lot of the current car washes that are out there, one, are under-optimized for their operational expenditures. Okay, they still have good cash margins, maybe around 40%, but there's ways to layer on additional operational efficiencies to push the cash margins upwards to 60 to 65%. And we can do that through technology. A typical mom and pop owner, their car wash costs them about 2.66 cents per wash. For a company that is heavily optimizing or creating efficiencies, they could probably drive down their costs. And when we've seen this through our experience, closer down to 80, 85 cents per wash. So that's a huge margin to be captured right now. Also, there's a major shift here that we can create. Current mom and pop owners are actually charging per wash. So they don't have the monthly recurring revenue model in place, that subscription model. Okay. And when we move a customer from a per wash payment to a monthly recurring revenue model, one, it becomes more efficient for the customer. Okay. They feel like they're getting a higher value for the transaction, but also it increases the bottom line for the facility. And just for context for the investor, most car wash subscriptions are costing somewhere between $25 to $45 per month, depending on what that service is. The next logical question an investor might ask, hey, like, how is this profitable? Well, if the wash is actually only costing you, water, electricity, chemicals, all that, only costing you about 85 cents a wash, and your average customer washes their car, industry-wide 1.8 times a month, and the subscription costs $25 or $30, you've got a hefty margin there in order to account for your labor and any CapEx or maintenance on the facility. Okay. So really the opportunity here is to invest in locations where the operator is picking up the land and the business and bundling those together and putting them into a third-party management type arrangement, not a franchise, but a third-party management type arrangement. And that really gives flexibility upon exit here for the investor, where there's three different types of exit plans. So really, for an investor, if you're really looking to put this optimized investment in your portfolio, you want to partner with an operator that owns the land, owns the brand, and owns the third-party management company. Next slide, please. All right, so let's talk about how to actually invest in one. Now that we understand what an express car wash is, what the type of investment, or excuse me, that what the industry looks like, what the cost looks like, and how we can disrupt it. Let's actually kind of walk through how this kind of underwrites. Now, everybody has their mile-long due diligence checklist, and I really love educating investors that your mile-long due diligence checklist is trying to evaluate seven things. And those, what are called our seven principles or seven pillars of wealth building. So typically I really encourage investors, make sure any investment you go into preserves capital, cash flow, equity benefits, or excuse me, equity growth and tax benefits. And then you can also underwrite how that asset hedges inflation, how it uses leverage, and then we'll get to the last kind of accelerator here in a bit. But let's use this model and kind of walk through how express car washes lines up here. Next slide, please. So how to invest for, so number one, we want to make sure that we're investing in a model that preserves capital. Okay. So for express car washes, when you're underwriting the deal, and I think people have heard this model, kind of immutable laws of real estate, like location, 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 right? Because you can't pick up a piece of real estate once you've invested in it and move it. But I would add a fourth layer of location here. So what does that mean? Well, we want to be in a growing market, okay? Markets that I love are the East and Southeast. But long story short, you want to be in a growth market for sure. Secondary markets are fine. Growing tertiary markets are fine. You want to be in the right area of that market. So kind of on the right side of the track, so to speak. So you want to be in the right submarket. Okay. Then we want to be on the right street corner where the traffic is. Okay. So we want to make sure that, we have the right number of vehicle counts coming by us. But then we even want to have the right number of vehicle count, okay, that can make a essentially almost a right-hand turn into our facility. Okay. So that we're reducing the friction. So that's where I get the location, location, location. As part of our underwriting process, we really love looking for an anchored street corner. So Walmarts, Targets, some sort of like, we want to be in the path of that like Saturday morning, errand running. So that is something that I really encourage investors to look at as well. Like when you're underwriting a deal, is it in that Saturday morning path of errand running? Or does somebody actually have to make a point to go wash their car? All right. So that's capital preservation. Cash flow. We talked about the different types of car washes that you could invest in. Our self-service, our in-bay automatics, our full service. But our express car washers are the ones that are going to yield the highest cash flow. One, because we can take advantage of those operational efficiencies and we can wash more cars with less labor. Another way to take advantage of cash flow is to look for opportunities that are direct owner, not necessarily franchises. When you have a direct owner, you want to make sure the operator owns the land, owns the brand, owns the third-party management company. Some things with franchises, you've got inter competition. So I kind of think back to like Quiznos. You could have two Quiznos in town. Maybe you guys have the Quiznos or those sandwich shops, but they could be run entirely different. They were actually a franchise, and so those owners were actually competing against each other for the same customer. Now, some franchises actually divide the market share, meaning, if one franchise is on the west side of town, the other one's on the east side of town, they can't like cross market to each other's customers. Okay, so you're actually got in, not only do you have inter competition with other car washes in the area, you have intra competition. We want to smooth that path for our investor, our limited partner investor, and just really have to worry about the inter competition with other car washes. And that brings me back to location, location, location. Look for opportunities that have no additional car wash competition for at least 1 to 3 miles around you. All right, next slide, please. I'm going to kind of skip around on my pillars here. Tax benefits. Car washes have a ton of tax benefits associated with them. So for my investor that's seeking, high cash flow yields, solid opportunity, and high tax benefits, this could be an amazing opportunity for you. Now, here's the thing. How the tax benefits come to you, though, is through accelerated depreciation. So right now we're in a 60% accelerate or not. We have the accelerated depreciation, then we have bonus depreciation. Right now we're in a year where it's 60% bonus depreciation. So that is ticking down. But it can still be considerably high. And the reason is because the building itself can be written off as a piece of equipment. So unlike self-storage, unlike multifamily, you can't write off the actual entire building itself as a piece of equipment to be broken down over year 1 through 5. You can only write off components of it. In an express car wash facility, you can generally write off the entire building as a whole. Okay, not the foundation of the building, but the building itself. So you can take advantage of cost segregation to get that accelerated depreciation as well as accelerated bonus depreciation. So you can get some really high year one losses. Now, guys, we are talking about how to use car washes inside your IRA. So we're going to stick a pin in the tax conversation until we get to the end, because I'm sure that question will come up, like, how does that work inside my IRA? Continuing with our model of like evaluating car washes according to the seven pillars of wealth, inflation hedging, you know, this is still an amazing opportunity for express car washes. One, because you can lock in excellent debt today. Yes, the interest rate is higher on that debt. You know, 2 years ago, us personally, we were able to lock in, you know, debt at about 5%. Now we're closer to 7.5%, 8%. But when we have our, because we have such a high margin on the operations, we can, that's still considered good debt for this type of business. We can lock in that excellent debt and allow the devaluation of the dollar to continue to erode that debt. We can also optimize the equipment and the systems to allow for adjustable operations. I mean, when electricity fluctuates, when water costs fluctuate, when chemicals fluctuate, okay? And essentially, you can do this by modulating the tunnel, okay, to account for how much water it's using, how much electricity it's using, and how many chemicals it's using. Okay, and then another way to hedge inflation is to continue to adjust your income and expenses and, you know, take that into account on how much you are charging for your subscription model and pass that through to the customer. And right now, like I said, when we have a owner operator, a mom and pop operator, their car wash is generally around, you know, $260 a wash. You know, when you have an operator that's fully optimized their business, their car washes are going to be driven down, you know, 80, 85 cents per wash. Next slide, please. All right. So equity growth, you know, again, there we have this pillar can be really well underwritten for us because we don't have that third party management. So we don't have the competition of our big money in the space. So anybody that's scaling portfolios right now is our operators that are scaling express car wash portfolios right now, especially ones where they own the land, the brand, and the third party management company are going to be seriously attractive for an exit in between 5 to 10 years. With those larger, you know, equity groups. And so this is really a unique time to take advantage of the market here because we're in that early market consolidation and, you know, in operating groups have leveraged buying power right now without having to compete with like your Blackstones, your Berkshire Hathaways, and, you know, your larger groups. Like multifamily real estate, like self-storage real estate, you have three levers to grow your equity. We don't call them NOI or net operating income levers. We call them expected gross income levers because we're talking about an operating business here. And so just like you were talking about multifamily or self-storage, we can grow the income, we can lower the expenses, we can add additional streams of income. Same thing can happen here on an express car wash. We can grow the income simply by moving the customer from single pay to subscription model. We can even have different levels of a subscription model. We can create operational efficiencies, as I've demonstrated, you know, several times, you know, with the optimizing the water treatment and the chemicals and drive down the costs there of the actual car wash. And then you can add additional amenities to make your subscription more valuable. An operator can add in scents or free vacuums, stuff like that in order to make that particular subscription more attractive over a competitor. One thing that we've done that I think is just so, you know, kind of unique is that some of our locations, we've added in pet washes. Like I have a car. I have a dog, an 80-pound puppy, and I hate getting my car washed and not having a clean dog to put in the car. So I think, that's another way to create value. Operators can create value in the space is adding in additional, say, like pet washes and stuff like that. And then we have our possible exits here. Okay, we alluded to that there are three possible exits with express car washes. Investors, when I talk to them, they get really starry-eyed on the possibility of what they could make with an exit. I always encourage investors, make sure that you're looking at the most conservative numbers that you possibly can on any investment. I don't care what it is. Multifamily, self-storage, debt. Make sure you look at the most conservative numbers, the most stress-tested numbers. And if you're happy with that, that's what makes sense. Okay. What are those three possible exits? Well, an operator can inquire the, scale their portfolio of, say, like 100 to 150 car washes. And that becomes very attractive for a very large exit with what we call an initial public offering, essentially going on the stock market. And we have case studies there of other organizations that have yielded 20 to 40x on investor money, equity multiple investor money. Okay. That is not where I start investors looking at numbers. Please don't start there. What I think is definitely going to be an exit in what big money is already looking at, like your Blackstones and your Berkshire Hathaways, are these large private equity roll-ups. And so, an operator that's scaling, 50, 70, maybe 100 locations, compiling them together, especially if they have third-party management in place, they're going to be very attractive for these large equity companies to come in and scoop up the entire portfolio because, one, they're stabilized, they're cash flowing, they had the third-party management in place. The private equity group just has essentially a turnkey business. They don't have to operate. That path to exit is probably going to look closer to 14x equity multiple for investors. So again, still very attractive. But where I really encourage everybody to look is make sure whatever deal you're looking at, that you're okay with the numbers the operator is presenting to you for individual sale of every asset in that portfolio that you're invested in. Because at the end of the day, you want every asset performing, not just 60% of the assets in the portfolio performing. You want every asset performing. So you want to make sure that you're looking at that individual sale. Most operators are going to be able to target a 2 to 4x equity multiple, which is still extremely respectable, exit for an investor. Next slide, please. So this is, this is where I'm just going to, kind of, point you in a direction. This is an example of what a portfolio, an operator's portfolio could look like when they're starting up. If you want to dive in deeper with me on, what we are doing as a business here at passiveinvesting.com, please reach out to me directly at whitney@passiveinvesting.com. I encourage you, email me. We can hop on the phone. We can talk more specifics about our individual portfolio. But to remain compliant here with interest, we're not going to go over these specific details. Next slide, please. All right. Now, when we were kind of going over this presentation, Andrew and I were partnering, and I said, okay, I don't know if we're going to have time with questions to go through some of these additional materials that I usually love talking about in conjunction with the express car washes. And he said, no, you got to keep this slide in. Because remember, we've only taken six of our pillars and applied them to express car wash. The one pillar we haven't talked about yet is the actual operator. And so on that last slide, where I couldn't exactly go through the experience that we have and what we're doing as a company, that's an indication of working with an experienced operator. But what I can go over with you are what to look for with any operator in any asset you go into. What are some red flags that should you have kind of have you running for the hills on any operator, any investment? And so that is number one, and these are rules, for background and context on this, these are rules that our managing partner, Dan Hanford, has in place for himself. He and his wife started putting together this list, you know, assets that they had in their portfolio. They were like, ooh, we will never touch that with a 10-foot pole, or we're not going to do that again. And then several of us at the company, when we've had challenge in our assets, you know, we're trying to look through this list, like, what did we violate here? And we've actually, we started off with 5, then it grew to 6, and then 7, and now we're at 8. So these are just things, you know, if you want to kind of stand on the shoulder of, you know, seasoned investors, these are things that, you know, we ourselves will not allow into our portfolio. One is investing with operators that don't have a successful background in business or in real estate. And so, yes, new people are getting into the space all the time. Somebody on that team, on the main operations team, has to have that success in business and then background in real estate. Okay. Two, part-time operators. We want people to be full-time in their business. Okay. Because if they're full-time in their business, they're going to have full-time to dedicate to your assets and not dividing their time and their attention between, say, a full-time job or something like that. Okay. We understand people have to get a start somewhere, but we also understand as investors, we have a choice. Number three, only one managing partner in the group, or having, you know, so we look for more than one managing partner in the group, and preferably they're unrelated. Okay. That can stem from, you know, deterring fraud. Right. So if you have, you know, only one managing partner, there's really nobody keeping them in check. Or, you know, what's more likely to happen is something major happens in their life. You know, a family member gets ill, something happens to them personally, and they're no longer able to take, you know, steer your asset. If there's only one person there, one managing partner, you know, it's going to be extremely hard for them to keep the eye on the ball for your asset. So we always look for more than one managing partner. Number four, now we're kind of getting into like the underwriting and the actual, you know, how do they run the business and the returns. Make sure that, you know, these are our rules, that if the investment doesn't have a preferred return or has a preferred return with what we call a GP, general partner catch-up provision, you know, that's kind of off the table for us as well. So no preferred return means they're not going to, you know, allocate a certain portion immediately right off the top to the limited partner, or if they have a preferred return with a general partner catch up, that can really kind of cloud who gets paid what and when. Number five, if the operating team is modeling a refinance in the pro forma, that's also a red flag. Now we're seeing this behavior really kind of step out of real estate entirely. In the last 4 to 5 years. But every once in a while, especially with value add assets, I do see refinances being modeled into the pro forma, or that's part of the business plan. Simply get the underwriting document, this actual spreadsheet the operators put together, and take a look at that spreadsheet and make sure the pro forma is not calculated into the returns. If it is, delete that line item and make sure the deal still works for you. Okay. Number six, where distributions are a return of capital, rather than a return on capital. We're only looking at a one letter difference of or on, you know, there. That can impact your taxation. It can also impact the total return on the asset. Okay. Number seven, no co-investment from the operator. We want the operator to have skin in the game and ideally above and beyond what their acquisition fee is for that asset. Now, again, we understand that, you know, people have to get started at, you know, all levels, and maybe they don't have the bankroll. But, you know, again, we as investors have a choice on who we invest with. And that is, it's not, you know, none of these are necessarily a deal breaker. These are just red flags. If you're trying to be very conservative with your investment, I encourage you to adhere to these red flags. And then number eight is an adjustable rate loan with no cap on it. And like we've seen in the environment, I'm still seeing on the Multifamily Investor Nation podcast that I run, I still talk to operators all the time that are using adjustable rate loans with no caps. And while we think we're at the top of the interest rate, saga, and that interest rates will start going down here. The Fed has made it quite clear that rates could also continue going up. So this rule is still very much in play. Next slide, please. So the last piece here is, again, invest with operators, invest with experts, right? Pillar number seven. So we talked about all those red flags. So you want to make sure you're investing with people that have knowledge of the strategy that you're wanting to invest with. They have the expertise and track record to perform. They have the ability to secure lending and credit for high quality assets, and the ability to pool capital together, in that they have a professional team working on behalf for you. So you don't want to have just like one or two managing partners that are doing everything. You want to see those partners have a team dedicated to service you and your investment. Next slide, please. So we're kind of wrapping up before we open it up to Q&A. And I know Rachel has a little bit more information here for us. This is your invitation to action. You can find me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. That's a little subpage on the passiveinvesting.com website. If you register there, you get, you can hop on the phone with me. We can discuss your goals related to real estate. I've got, a boot camp and a masterclass that you can join with us as well. And thank you.
Thank you. All right, so let's dive into what a self-directed IRA is and how it works. So what's a self-directed IRA? A self-directed IRA is a retirement account that really puts the investor in charge of their investment decisions. A good way to break it down is at a typical bank or a brokerage firm, if your IRA is held there, your options are limited. Why is that? Well, typically they don't have the knowledge, expertise, or the infrastructure to work with alternatives. Whereas companies like the Intrust Group or a self-directed custodian does, and quite frankly, the options are almost unlimited. I kind of already went over this, so it's a greater opportunity. So again, at a bank or brokerage firm, you may be used to stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Companies like the Intrust Group or self-directed custodian really allows you to invest and puts the investor back in that driver's seat to invest in what the IRS permits, which is almost, like we said, the opportunity is almost endless and unlimited. There's only three things that are not able to be held within a self-direct or a retirement plan. All securities and investments held in a retirement account are administered and regulated by a custodian or a trustee. So those same tax benefits that you're used to within a Roth or a traditional, yes, you do still have that here at the Intrust Group, as long as your funds are still held at a regulated custodian or trustee like Intrust. Getting started is, I'd like to say, pretty easy. It's something that I do pretty often. So I understand that coming into it, it may be a little daunting, but what's really nice is, as we said in the beginning, we provide single points of contact. So we're really able to walk investors through the process and meet them where they are. So step number one is establishing an account. It's pretty quick and painless, easy to do online. Step number two is funding your account. It's typically done through an existing retirement plan, like maybe an old 401k or an IRA, or you can make a contribution. And then step number three is purchase your asset. So typically that looks like a two-page Intrust form along with your purchase agreement, subscription agreement, whatever the company works with, getting that submitted to the Intrust Group so we can review and fund your chosen investment. All right, so what is coming up next, I think, is our webinar. So upcoming webinar, we're going to be having our June webinar next month on private equity versus venture capital investments. As always, we're welcome to any feedback, topic requests, etc. So please do share that with us. And all information is always posted in our Learning Center. So there's a plethora of information, blogs, webinars, you name it, that you can feel free to learn and grow through and take advantage of. And then, of course, follow us on social media. Okay, so now opening it up to some Q&A with Whitney. Let's see here. So, first question, if we invest in a car wash via a self-directed IRA, would this incur unrelated business income tax?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the operator's doing. If they're using leverage for the asset, then more than likely, yes, that would trigger UDFI, and then that would then, lead to UBIT. If they're not using leverage to purchase the car wash, which I'm not sure why they wouldn't, then no, it wouldn't. So it all goes down to, if leverage is being used, more than likely that will trigger the UBIT in the
Thank
end.
you. Another question. So the caveat is a little bit of a newbie here. This is a question. What's the preferred return with a GP catch-up, and why is such a provision a red flag?
Yeah, so it means, well, at the end of the day, when you have a general partner catch up, let's first kind of define what it is. So this kind of goes to the waterfall. So I think people are well aware of what a capital stack is, the different layers of money. So you can have the senior debt, mezzanine debt, preferred equity, and then your common equity positions. Okay, so those are just the layers of money, but that doesn't tell you who gets paid what and when. Okay, the senior debt and the mezzanine debt are the debt's always going to get paid off first, but past that, who gets paid what and when? Well, so that's where we now look at to the waterfall as it's laid out in your legal documents, often referred to as the private placement memorandum. Private placement memorandum are generally made up of three documents: your operating agreement, your subscription agreement, and the actual private placement memorandum. Okay. Now that we kind of got the terms out of the way, let's get to the GP catch up. So this is the sometimes general partners will insert a clause in there where they say, "Oh, we're going to give a preferred return, but then we are going to get our money next before you actually get your capital back." Okay, so now you're not aligned with the general partnership. What true alignment is in favor of the investor is the investor to get their preferred return, for them to get their capital back, and then now you start sharing in splits of remaining cash left in the deal. Okay. But that can, so say like there is a deal and there is a GP catch up, that maybe they're able to come, the preferred return goes to the limited partner investor, say it's 7%, and then the GP is able to come in and harvest 30% of the cash flow after that. Well, what if there's not enough money to pay back everybody's capital after that? That's really put the investor in an upside down position. And so that's why we considered it a red flag. So for me, I personally look for preferred return, my capital returned, splits. Okay. And then the general partnership being made whole. Okay. And that may really makes the general partner like incentivized to do the work.
Thank you. Next question. What are the reasons that distributions as return of capital are not desirable in terms of tax treatment? So I don't know if you want to touch on that. I do want to just say as a caveat, we are not tax advisors. So as we mentioned in the beginning, if you have specific tax related questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to your financial professional.
Yeah, I would defer to your financial professional to kind of do that modeling for you. I've tried to put this out on our Passive Investing Made Simple masterclass, and it's just it becomes very nuanced. But just think about it. Like, do you want your ca all your capital being returned first, and then your preferred return being calculated on what's remaining when the asset sells? Or, which is kind of what can happen in the end, it's far more complicated than that. Or do you want your preferred return being calculated on your total investment in the deal and then your capital being returned? And that one little letter difference can really switch it for you. So it can impact returns, 2 to 4% overall internal rate of return on a deal. So it can be pretty treacherous.
Awesome. And I see some questions about minimum investment amount. I'll let you touch on that. But also posted here on the screen is Whitney's email address, phone number. So I'm sure she'd love to answer any in-depth questions there as well.
Yeah. And guys, I would really encourage you, if you're going to reach out to me, email is by far the best. Like I keep my inbox squeaky clean. If you're just like, man, I am a phone person, text me first. And then we can set up a time for a call. Okay, so minimum investment, it really depends on the operator. For most operators right now, they're working with accredited investors. I expect the minimum to be about 50K for an individual asset. Now, because of the price point of these assets, you're not buying an 80 or $100 million multifamily building. You're probably buying, a $4 million to $10 million car wash. And so what we see our operators, and this is what we do personally at passiveinvesting.com, we aggregate facilities together. So small portfolios of 2 to 7 assets. And so because the investor's automatically getting diversified there over multiple assets in multiple markets, you're probably going to see investment minimums closer to $100,000 on those.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So let's see here. Do you have car washes available in your current offering available for us to invest in today?
Very soon, guys, not today, but this is an amazing time for us to have a conversation and really get to understand your goals. But it's, I mean, especially if you don't have your account set up, probably going to have an offering by the time you get your account set up with the interest.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So it looks like that is all for today, Whitney. Thank you so much for joining us. It was very educational, very informative, and thank you all for attending. All righty. Have a good one. Bye,
Thank you
everybody.
guys.
Thank you.